Father, as we come today to your word, we come in the confidence that you will clarify your word to us and to our hearts by the work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have provided a way of victory, that you have provided a way of Christian growth, that you have provided a way for the character of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to be expressed and created within us. And so, Lord, thank you that you did not leave us to ourselves, but you sent another comforter. And even after the point of salvation, you sent another comforter to be with us always, so that we would always have the training we need, so that we would always have the empowerment that we need, and so that we would always have the resources that we need to live the way you want us to live, to please you, to bring glory to you, and to be a blessing to others. Now, Lord, take your word today and use it richly in our lives, for we are those who have been born again by your Spirit. We are indwelt by your Spirit, and now we want to be daily led by your Spirit. We ask that this would be so, and we ask it in the name of Christ our Lord and on the basis of his shed blood. Amen. You may be seated. And every once in a long time, I either start or end a message by having a song played. And so today is one of those days, and this is from an LP album that was recorded back in the 1960s. And I do not know if any of you will recognize this voice, but he was well known in gospel music circles at that particular time. And the name of this song is Less of Me.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me pray a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others, and a little less of me.
Barbara had that album before we were married. The man's name is Smitty Gatlin. What Smitty is singing about there expresses what Christians all down through the years, what their basic heart's desire has been, and that is to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to have his character expressed in them. And we know that this is actually God's will. This is actually God's plan for each and every believer. We have a verse here at the top of the note sheet today. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He, that is His Son, might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Now, we've been talking about the basic ministries of the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Holy Spirit is a multitasker. He has a number, but they're all in relation to the gospel. And the first task of the Holy Spirit is as an evangelist to convince men and women of who Jesus is, to convince men and women of their own lostness and their own need so that they might come to faith in Christ. And then at the moment of salvation, at the moment of trusting Christ as Savior, to actually affect the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, causing us to be born again, making us a new creature, inducting us into the royal family, and making us one of the Lord's own. And then at that particular point, His ministry then changes. He's no longer, yes, He's going to show us more and more about Jesus, but He's no longer trying to convince us of our sinfulness or of who Jesus is. But from that point on, He is now going to teach us and train us more and more in the whole truth of God. And Jesus said to the disciples, there's a lot of things I would still like to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, He is going to reveal them all to you. And He's going to take what's mine and make it known to you. And He's going to take all the things that I have said to you, and He's going to remind you of them. And He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to be your teacher. So from the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit's role then changes, and He becomes my teacher. He's now going to start teaching me the Word of God. He's going to now start teaching me the truth of Scripture, so that when I sit down and I open my Bible and I pray first and I say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to the truth of Your Word, as I read, He will quicken to me the meaning of the Scripture according to my understanding. You know, we have first grade classes, fourth grade classes, 12th grade classes, college courses. It depends on where we're at. But wherever we're at, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher of all. And without the Holy Spirit, we can hear all the preaching in the world without the work of, and read the Bible a lot. But without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're never going to really get down to the truth. And we're never going to really assimilate the truth. And it's not going to become functional in our lives. So that then, there are three basic ministries of the Holy Spirit after conversion. And teacher is number one. Now today, he's like our character coach. And really, I put there leading believers to maturity. But today's lesson is really about the Holy Spirit creating us and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read there a couple minutes ago, those who God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. In other words, His purpose for every believer is that we would ultimately come to be just like Jesus. There are a lot of songs that express that. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask to be like Him. A long life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask to be like Him. That's a chorus we used to sing. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures. Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness. Stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. And so many other songs like that that we sing. And that should be the heartthrob of every believer. If that is not your desire today as a believer, then you need to be revisited by the Holy Spirit. And you need to repent of your hardness of heart. And you need to get reintroduced to the Holy Spirit and to His work, because He has been assigned to you, not to somebody else. He's assigned to each believer, but pertaining to you, He has been assigned to you in order to actually do this. And He will do it. We'll go straight to the bottom line. Given the opportunity, the Holy Spirit will produce in us the character of Christ. And the only reason He would not is that we are not cooperating, that we are not aware, that we are not, whatever, cooperative with Him. Because that is exactly why He is assigned to us. And it is not hard for Him. It is not hard for Him to produce. I don't care what our weaknesses are in the flesh. How many think you may have some weaknesses in the flesh? Hopefully, if you're honest, all of you raise your hand on that one. We all know we have. But here's the good news. The weaknesses of your flesh do not need to keep you from fulfilling the will of God or to keep the character of Christ from being developed in you. That is a lie of the devil. Yes, I know about my weaknesses, and that's why the Holy Spirit has been sent. There was a book written years ago, Spirit Controlled Temperament, with Tim LaHaye. Some of you have seen this book, and it's about the four basic temperaments and what the strengths are and what the weaknesses are. It's one of the best books I ever read. It helped me to understand myself. It helped me to understand my dad and mom. It helped me understand just about anybody I've ever met. But the main message of the book is that whatever the weaknesses of your natural temperament type are, the Holy Spirit has been sent to make up for those. And that it is possible, in spite of that, with the Holy Spirit dwelling within, to still be made into the likeness of Christ and to still have His characteristics expressed in us. Now, I'm going to start today with a little bit of, I'm not going to start, the fruit of the Spirit is really our topic. But I think that we need to understand a little bit, maybe we already do, but we're going to go over here. And Romans 8 and Galatians 5 are sister chapters. Galatians 5 is kind of a condensation of Romans 7 and 8, when Paul wrote to the Galatians. But the topic is basically the same. And I would encourage you in your devotional times over the next week or two to spend some time in Romans 8, especially the first say 18 or 20 verses or so, and then also this passage in Galatians 5, beginning with verse 16, because these are parallel passages. But if you're one of those who follows the notes and fills in the blanks, now would be the time to get it. These are just a few basic observations. And by the way, I have a much more detailed breakdown of Romans 8 and Galatians 5 on the web page with these notes. So if you want to see the longer version, then just go to www.sncc.net. And there you can pull up this week's sermon notes. All right, number one. God's purpose for each believer is that from the point of salvation on, we might become more and more like Jesus Christ. Either one is the correct answer. And so that is His purpose. He didn't just save us so we won't go to hell. We should not take the attitude, well, you know, and I'm afraid there are believers out there that are like, well, I'm just glad I'm not going to hell, and I'm going to pretty much just kind of live the way I want to, and I'll have the best of both worlds, you know. I'm just going to kind of let that slide. Now, does that person lose their salvation? No, they do not. But they never develop the potential that the Lord has for them. They're not going to have any rewards to speak of when they get up there. And they're just squandering, all the riches that God has available to them through the work and the ministry of His Holy Spirit in their lives. So that's not a very good attitude to have. But there probably are some out there like, I'm just glad I'm not going to hell, but I don't really have any interest in Christian growth. That's a terrible attitude. And the Lord is very, very gracious. And, you know, once He gives the salvation, we've trusted Christ, He's not going to take it back. But that is not His will. His will is that we would be growing and we would have a desire for growth and a desire to advance in our knowledge of Him. So that His purpose is, what is His purpose? His purpose is from the minute I'm saved, that from that moment on, the Holy Spirit begins to work in me, and every day He's making me a little bit more like Jesus. So I can say I'm holy? So I can brag? No. So I can exhibit the character and the qualities of Christ and bring, what does that do? It brings glory to the Lord. And that's what it's designed to do. And in the process, it causes growth in me and it brings blessing to others. So everybody gets something out of this. The Lord gets glory, we get growth, and the people around us get blessing. And that is His desire. So He wants everyone, just like all of you, those baby pictures are wonderful, and we have some grandmamas running around here showing pictures of grandbabies. But if they come back in 10 years and it's the same picture, you got a problem. Because we want every child, you want them to grow, right, don't you? And to develop. And we love watching our young people grow up around here. And some of you who were, you know, running around before in children's church, now you're sitting out here in the pew listening to me. But we love watching you grow up. And the Lord wants us to become more like Jesus from the day we're saved. Number two, as Christians, we are totally free from condemnation through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what we call positional truth. When Jesus died on the cross, He provided that all of my sins be put on Christ, and that all of Christ's righteousness be imparted to me. And so that's a swap there. And that's called a judicial imputation. He imputes my sin to Christ, and He imputes Christ's righteousness to me. And it's totally legal, because Jesus did pay the penalty for me. So I have no, that's why it says, verse 1, Romans 8, there is now therefore how much condemnation? No condemnation. None. No condemnation. To who? To those. And it's just the general word, anybody who is in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. Number 3, the old sin nature is still alive in us, but we are no longer in bondage to it. You say, I still have a sin nature? Yes, you do. And you'll carry it with you until your dying day. It is in your genes. The sin nature is transmitted genetically from generation to generation. It is part of this physical body. And that is why Paul cries out toward the end of Romans 7, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because these physical bodies are sin-infested and programmed for it and contrary to God's nature. And we're still in these bodies. But spiritually, we've been born again and we are new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the two coexist side by side. And the matter of it is, which one are we now going to live in? Which one are we going to walk in? Because I am free from condemnation. That's a one-time thing. Jesus paid it all. And the old sin nature is still alive, but I'm not in bondage to it. Why am I not in bondage to it? Because I've been set free from it by the inner working of the Holy Spirit. It's still there, and it's still going to make itself known. If it didn't, we'd never be tempted again. But we are, aren't we? If it wasn't still there, we wouldn't mess up anymore. But we do, don't we? So it's there, but I'm not in bondage to it. And I need to know that, and I need to understand it. I'm not in bondage to it. We can kind of talk to it. Hey, I'm not in bondage to you anymore. I'm taking my orders from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's changed. Before we weren't born again, we were in bondage to it. We weren't even spiritually alive. There's no way we could do what pleased God. But now we can. Number four, the Holy Spirit who indwells each believer has the ability to intercept and nullify the impulses of the flesh. And that's what Paul makes plain in Romans 8. He says, put to death the deeds of the body through the Spirit. And that's what he means. The Holy Spirit is able, it's there, but he's able to intercept it. He's able to nullify it so that it's not in control. It's not the boss, and it doesn't call the shots. So when your flesh is acting up, and it will, just know you don't have to obey it anymore. And if you appeal to the Lord in prayer, and you know, he will give you the strength you need to master it. Number five, the sin nature that resides in our flesh and the Holy Spirit are continually at odds and in perpetual conflict. The Apostle Paul makes that very, very plain in both Romans 8 and Galatians 5. He says there is a battle going on. When is that battle going on? All the time. These two are at odds. They're at total odds. Our sinful flesh never wants what God wants. Our sinful flesh wants to sleep in on Sunday. Our sinful flesh wants to rationalize why it isn't a convenient time right now to tell that person over there about Jesus and to make us scared to death of what they're going to say if we do. And I could just go on and on and on down the list. But we're not in bondage to it anymore. But these two are at odds. What the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to lead me to Bible reading. The flesh is going to lead me to watching TV. That, I'm just giving you practical examples down where we live, you know. Okay, number six, obeying our sin nature leads to death. Yielding to the Holy Spirit results in life, peace, and victory. And again, that's made very plain in Romans chapter 8. Number seven, the sin nature produces acts and attitudes that are contrary to God's purposes. Those are called the works of the flesh, and we just read them a little while ago. And they are in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. Quite a list there. And the Holy Spirit produces acts and attitudes that are in keeping with God's will and purposes. That is the fruit of the Spirit. We'll get back to that in a minute. Number eight, fruit is never the result of effort, but rather the result of a natural process. That is, the fruit of the Spirit is the natural result of God's life in us expressed through the work of His Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit does not have to strain in order to love other people through us, no matter who they may be. The Holy Spirit never has to strain to do anything because He is acting in keeping with His character. All three persons of the Godhead have the same essence. And what that means is they have exactly the same characteristics. Now, they have different functions and different personalities, but they all have the same qualities and they have exactly the same objectives. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit always are in agreement and always have the same objectives in mind. And they all possess the same attributes, be it, what was the word Mike was using for him a while ago? Almighty, bountiful. What was the third one? Creator. And he kept saying he's eternal. Was that the word? So anything you say that way about one also applies to the other. So the Holy Spirit characteristics are identical to those of Jesus, and those of Jesus identical to those of the Father, which is why Jesus could say to the disciples, huh? You want to see the Father? You haven't seen me yet? You don't know me yet? Whoever's seen me has seen the Father. He didn't mean he was the Father, but he meant like Father, like Son. We have the same essence. And so the Holy Spirit, when he produces character in us, whose character is he going to produce? The character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't have to strain to do it. You don't have to strain to do what is already in your very nature. Amen. Now, we know about the old nature, too. I remember as a kid, you know, some of us aren't all that bright, you know, and as kids or adults. But, you know, I remember somebody saying, go up to so-and-so and say this. And I was stupid enough to do it. And I'd get the reaction. They weren't having to strain to react that way. Now, that was a negative thing, but that was their character. They get a rise out of somebody. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have to strain in order to produce. And we read these things. Oh, what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. Not like the world interprets it. Much, much, much bigger than that. Love, joy. Do you have joy? Peace. Do you have peace? If you have real, real, real peace, guess who put it there? The Holy Spirit. Patience, kindness, goodness. But we read that list and we're like, oh man, that's so far off the mark. That's so unlike me. Yeah, but you've got the Holy Spirit. And it is. I mean, if you look at it in your flesh, you're like, oh, man, oh, no, general, what's that? But the Holy Spirit is general, period. So when I yield to him and I say, Holy Spirit, take over, and that's what it is. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, how does it get produced? Simply by getting out of the way and letting him take over and letting him run the show from day to day and follow his leading. It says those who are led by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You're already indwelt. Every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit, but not all are led by the Spirit. I'm indwelt by the Spirit, but I've done plenty of things since I got saved that I wasn't led by the Spirit to do. And so have you. But those who are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. And when I just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's all I got to do. Is he willing to lead? Yes, he is. Is he willing to take the initiative? Yes, he is. But he's not going to force himself on you, even as a believer. He's not going to make you do it. But he will do it. The minute you say, Holy Spirit, help please. And what's his name? The Helper. There used to be a song, anytime you need me, just call me. Y'all remember that song from way back? Just call. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's right there. How is the Holy Spirit, for lack of a better word, activated in our lives on a day-to-day basis? By simply just a conscious submission. By simply coming and saying, Lord, today, you've heard the one, right? Lord, today I haven't thought one bad thought. I haven't done one unkind deed. I haven't done anything wrong. But Lord, in a few minutes, I'm going to be getting up and I'm going to need your help. But he's there, and he will. So we need not despair. We need not say, well, I could know. The Holy Spirit is key. So the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So just by following the lead of the Holy Spirit on a day-by-day basis, in daily situations as they come up. He's there, he's ready to lead, but I've got to want him to lead and I've got to let him lead. Holy Spirit, you just take the lead today. And he will. And you will find. It is such a wonderful thing because once we discover this, we never go back to the other way. You see, even as believers, we still have it in our mind that somehow this is something that we've got to do and we know we can't do it. And Paul says, you're absolutely right. You can't do it. But the Holy Spirit, he is already all of these things. So all you have to do is know he's there and yield to him. Is that hard? It's not really. It's only hard because the flesh fights it. But other than that, it's not hard. And it's how the Lord wants every one of us to live every day. What is his objective? To make each and every one of us like Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. And we know that we could not pay for our sins. And so you sent Jesus to do, as we tell people so often, to do what we could not do for ourselves. Well, the same applies with this that we've talked about today. Even as believers, we can't in ourselves. But but we can. We can because your Holy Spirit is there to do it, to work it in us. And so, Lord, today, thank you that the Holy Spirit is there to do in us and through us what we cannot do in ourselves. We thank you, Lord. Help us to really get to know your Holy Spirit. Help us to begin to understand that he's assigned to each of us individually, and that whatever his overall purpose is in any believer, that is his purpose for us, and that whatever he's done for others, he will do for us as well. And thank you that you have sent him for this very assignment. And so we are blessed because today we possess the Holy Spirit who you have given to us. He indwells us. Now let us be possessed of him, and that he would be at the forefront and that he would be leading on a day-to-day basis. What a joy to follow the lead of your Spirit. Now, Father, take these truths, engrave them in our hearts, embed them in our hearts, so that we know them upside down and backwards. We know them thoroughly inside and out until we begin to actually walk in these things and begin to experience the joy and the victory that comes from walking in these things. Thank you that it's already done and already bought and paid for entirely through our Lord Jesus Christ. Deal with our hearts today. If we have anything we need to make right with you, may we do so and then continue our walk with you in victory. These things we ask humbly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.